that, and sure did a good job, amen, of putting everything together. And I've enjoyed it myself. I've enjoyed watching the young people and jumping up and running over each other, knocking each other down, and that's always exciting, amen. But also I get a little nervous when I eat a meal like that before I preach, amen. When I first started preaching years ago, at a church in North Carolina, they had asked me to preach. Said, "Could you come up and preach for us?" Well, that night, my mom cooked me a big old meal. I mean, that thing was—I can tell you what it was. It was fried pork chops, and we call them taters in North Carolina. And good cooked taters and collard greens. We had collard greens and some good fried cornbread and stuff like that. Well, I just pigged out, not knowing you're not supposed to eat like that before you preach. Amen. Well, that night I was preaching, and with me, I start getting loud, you know, and I went to let a big yell out, but it wasn't a yell. And it was a belch. And it wasn't no little belch. Amen. It came out. I mean, it came out. Well, it just shocked everybody. It shocked me. I didn't know, you know, they're staring at me. I'm staring at them, you know, like, you know. And you know, you couldn't act like it didn't happen, amen. I mean, it was very evident what it was, you know. So my wife, my first wife there, the one's in heaven now, she, you know how pastor's wives are. They're so supportive, amen, sometimes, amen. But my wife sitting there, she just busted out laughing. Well, then the whole church fell apart. The pastor, he was sitting on the front row. Well, he'd been preaching a lot, you know, for years. He'd been preaching longer than me. So I thought, he'll help me out, you know. So I looked down at him and I said, "Pastor, I knew for sure this had happened to him before, but you know, all them years of preaching. I said, "You ever had this happen to you before?" He goes, "No." So it just made it worse, amen. I tell you what, I've had all kinds of things happen to me preaching, though. I'm not kidding. If you preach as long as I have, you're going to have a lot. Hey, let me tell you something. I was baptizing one time. I was baptizing a lady preacher, and I took her down. And when I brought her back up, she didn't come back up. She had come back up, and I had a wet wig in my hand. I had my hand under her head, and when I pulled up, her whole wig. Well, she's still down there bubbling, amen. I reached down and grabbed her, you know. She was choking, you know, and I grabbed her up, got her up. When I did, I tried to put the wig back around. It didn't work, amen. It didn't work, amen. Hey, let me tell you another one, amen. I was preaching one time at a nursing home, and every month we'd go once a month to a nursing home. And I'd always carry the young people because they love to hear the young people sing, you know. And so I was preaching, and they had sang, so it was my turn. I'm standing behind the podium kind of like this, you know. And I was preaching away, and all of a sudden I heard something hit the floor, and it slid in front of the podium. Well, I just kept, you know, we were talking Bible college, you know, don't let things distract you. Just keep preaching. Well, I just kept preaching. I was tearing loose preaching. Well, about that time, my young people start snickering and laughing. They are dying laughing, and they're pointing. They were pointing, you know, down at the front there. Well, I just kept preaching. And finally, they were laughing and snickering. Well, I made my way to the side, and I looked, and some old lady's false teeth had fallen out of her mouth. And they were just sitting there grinning at me. I was sitting there grinning at me. And you say, well, what did you do, preacher? Well, I just kept preaching. And while I was preaching, I reached down, picked them teeth up, and walked over to that old lady, and she threw her mouth wide open. I plugged them in. Amen. Amen. Oh, man. That's what you call plugging and preaching. Amen. So I hope y'all got your polygraph in tonight. Amen. We're gonna preach anyway. But you know, you never know what's going to happen. You just keep preaching. Amen. Keep preaching there. But I want to thank you so much, Pastor, for letting me do this. And I've enjoyed it so much. The book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. You can just stay beside, because I'm going to read a few verses here. And chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried unto the land of Shinar, to the house, now look at this, of his what? God. Now I want you to notice it went from the big G-O-D to the little G-O-D. You see that? He took the things that belonged to God, amen, and put them in a place that was not the right God. And I pray that's what's going on today. But I want you to see what he did. And the Bible says, and he brought the vessel into the treasure house of his God. Now, young people, look at me. What's happened here is that we know that he is now, based on what has happened, he has kidnapped, gone into and kidnapped these Jewish kids. That's what's happened here. Again, Babylon. And he's taken, and by the way, the Babylon was a wicked generation, wicked nation. You understand that? Worldly, ungodly. I can't even mention some of the things that were so wicked that they did. But they actually went in and kidnapped these Jewish kids and took them. Why? Because there was something, I believe, that impressed them about these kids. But look in verse 3. And the king spake and asked Pinhas, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the prince. Now, let me tell you what kind of kids these were. And verse 4 describes what kind of kids these were. Look what it says. They were children in whom was no blemish. You know what that means? These kids were healthy. These kids ate right. They ate right. They didn't sit around and eat, you know, potato chips and Twinkies and, you know, candy and like that girl just won. Amen. All that stuff. And by the way, y'all should have just stayed up here on the pier. Amen. They ate healthy, and these kids were healthy. Now, look what else they were. They were well favored. They were well favored. You know what that means? People like being around them. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be around teenagers. Yeah, you know, some teenagers I don't want to be around. I'll be honest with you. There's some I don't want to be around. They're not favored. You know what I'm saying? Now, look at, but I'm telling you this, that these kids were well favored. Don't ever become a kids. Let me tell you something. I know something happens to your brain when you become the moment you become a teenager. Did you know that? Something happens to your brain at the second at midnight. I'm not kidding. Your brain goes and blows up. And you become super brain. And you know everything. Can I have amen? It's amazing. It's amazing how you know everything. And more than your mom, dad, your grandpa, grandma, all that. It's amazing. And by the way, you adults don't look at me that way. You did the same thing. Amen. Amen. When you became a teen, it's like you knew it all. But really what happened is when it blew up, it blew every brain you got up. Amen. All your brain. And you became El Dumbo. Amen. And because you thought you knew it all. Now, but can I tell you something? Listen. These kids were well favored. People liked being around them. They were respectable. They were respectable kids. Now, look at this. And the Bible says they were well favored, skillful in all wisdom. That means they had skills. These kids knew how to change the oil. Amen. I don't know if they didn't have cars, but they changed the oil in the chariots or something. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? These kids had skills. They were skillful in wisdom and cunning in knowledge. That means they did their homework. I hate homework. But anyway, they did their homework. Can I have amen? They were smart. They were smart. They also, look at the next part, understood what? Understanding what? Science. You know what that means? They knew they didn't come from a monkey. Can I? Amen. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. This mess that's being taught in our schools today is the stupidest stuff you ever heard in your life. I was knocking doors one day, and a guy come today. He's the door. He said he was a professor at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. There, supposed to be a Baptist college, but now it's a liberal lost college, and. He was a professor. Well, he didn't believe God created. He believed. I said, well, let me ask you a question. What do you believe? And this is what he told me. I'm not kidding. He told me that. He said he believed that one time in the bottom of the ocean, that this were, that there was like a rock. It started forming and became like a volcano. It came like a volcano. And all of course, my question is, where did the rock come from? Amen. But it started growing, that it became like a volcano. And it, one day, and this is millions and billions and billions of years, amen. And all of a sudden, it exploded, and all these amoebas, he called them amoebas. Now, he's telling me this, like he thinks I believe. And all these amoebas are swimming around in the ocean, the water, for millions of years. Now, I'm not kidding. This is what he said. And he said, then one day that amoeba was floating around. There may be babies, amen. And all of a sudden, an arm popped out. Now, he told me this. An arm popped out. And when that arm popped out, all of a sudden, you know, another millions of years. By the way, he had to swim around with one arm. Now, don't you know that arm got tired and everything? Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. But anyway, or something. I don't know what we're amoebas. Amen. And so he swam around one arm. Don't you know he got tired? Amen. Well, then another arm popped out. And he's telling me all this. He's telling me all this stuff. And then another million year, a leg popped out. And then another million year, I mean, it's two legs, one leg and two arms swimming around, floating around. And then another leg popped out. And then a head popped out. Then it had a tail and it swam ashore. And all of a sudden it stood up and became like a monkey. And I said, don't go any further. I know the rest of the story. I said, he said, you do? I said, yeah. And that monkey climbed up a tree, a coconut tree or banana tree or something. And hanging by his tail one day, it fell off and he fell down, hit his head, jumped up, put a suit on, became a professor at Wake Forest University. Can I have amen? You know what? That's stupid. That's stupid. Can I have amen? Folks, it's a lot easier for me to believe God created. Amen. God created. But these fellows, they knew their science. But they were smart kids. They were intelligent. But let me say something. These kids came, they were been kidnapped in a wicked place like Babylon. But let me tell you something. These are teenagers. These are Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, Daniel, all them were teenagers. Now look at me. You know what it tells me? That doesn't matter how wicked it is, a young person can still live for God. Amen. Can still do right. Amen? And that's what they did. And now, look what the rest of the Bible says in verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision, the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourished them 3 years, that in thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah of Abednego. But verse 8 is what I want you to see. But Daniel, what's that word? Purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want you to see that one word, purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, the word purpose, when I think of purpose, I said this before. God has a purpose for your life. When I was a boy and I did things wrong, I mean, some of you older ones would, some of you adults will know this. How many of you ever heard your mom and daddy say this? What was the purpose of that? Can I have amen? What was the purpose of that? Why did you do that? Why'd you blow the car up? Why'd you burn the house down? What was the purpose of that? Amen. And you know what? Well, you know, there's a reason why you did that. Can I have amen? Now, there's always a reason why you do what you do. There's always a reason why you do what you do. Whether it's to be mean, be funny, you know, or please somebody. There's always a reason. There's always a purpose in your life. Amen. Why you do what you do. Now, let me say this. There's only two purposes in life. I have found that. The first purpose is God's purpose. God has a purpose for your life. Amen. God has. Number two, your own purpose. See, there's either purpose, whatever you do, it's either to please you or to please God. Can I have amen? It's either to please you or either to please God. Whatever you do, there's a reason why you do what you do. Years ago, and years ago when I was a young preacher, Dr. Jack Hiles was coming through Lexington, North Carolina, and Dr. Hiles was going to speak at this church, but he stopped at this one church, and we went over there to hear him, and he was just going to have a question-answer time for staff people or anybody working in church work. So I go over there, and Dr. Hiles was people I asked questions and all that. But Dr. Hiles made this statement. He made this statement, and he said this. He said, years ago when I was a young preacher boy in East Texas, he said, I went out in the pine thickets all night long, and I prayed all night long. And he said, I prayed, God, give me 7 principles to live my life by, and I'm going to live my life by those principles that will help me to be what I want to be, what you want me to be. So that night, God gave him 7 principles to live by. And so he shared those 7 principles. And that night, I went home and did the same thing. I went down in the patch of woods, preacher, and I prayed most of the night, spent most of the night in prayer, and God gave me 7 principles to live my life by. And I believe that's why today, 48 years later, I am fulfilling the purpose of God for my life, because I learned to live by principles. Principles. Look, young people, principles is the foundation of you fulfilling the purpose of God for your life. It's kind of like a house. If you don't have a foundation, it's not going to be a strong house, right? If you don't have a good foundation, you're not going to have a strong life. So you got to build what's a good foundation? Principles. Principles build on what? The Word of God. The Word of God. So I'm gonna spit them out real quick to you, because I know you're getting tired and I know you got to travel back. But let me just give you just a few that God gave me that I've lived my life. By the way, I look at these 3, 4, 5 times a week. Done it for years. When I get another Bible, I've worn one out, get another one. I write these in immediately. I'll write these in. And I live by these principles. Number one, and they're very simple, very simple. My pastor used to say when you preach, put the cookies on the lower shelf where they can reach it. Amen. Number one, I will love God. I will love God. Now, wait a minute. Did you know you can live with somebody and not love them? Is this thing working? Can y'all hear me? Did you know you can live with somebody and not love them? Hey, I know a lot of people live with each other and don't love each other. Amen? Did you know you can have God and not love him? Be honest. Do you love the Lord like you should every day? Hello? Hello? Don't sit there like, not me. You know, oh yes, oh yeah. You know, I had a man and his wife come in my office one time when I was pastoring. They've been married 40-some years and hated each other. Hated each other. Now, listen to this. They got in a fist fight in my office. They got in a fist fight, and she popped him, preacher. I mean, she nailed him in the mouth. Blood was coming. And by the way, he deserved it. He deserved every bit of it because he'd been a jerk to her. But listen to this. And they were fighting. I mean, they were knocking stuff off my bookshelf. They were knocking stuff off my desk. And you say, what did you do? I watched it. It was a great fight. Amen. It was one of the best I've ever seen. Amen. And you say, you didn't try to stop it? No way. No way. Who needs television? You got that in your office. Amen. And they were going at it and fighting and turning and wrestling and knocking chairs up and everything else. And finally, about 10 minutes, they went for about 10 minutes going at it. They both got up. They were huffing and puffing. I said, are y'all done? Are y'all done? They said, yeah. I said, sit down. I said, let me tell you something. You know what your problem is? They said, what? I said, when you love somebody, you're not going to treat them that way. You're not going to treat them that way. When you love somebody, you'll do anything for them. You'll do anything for them. You don't care what the price is. You don't care what the cost is. Amen. You don't know. You don't care how hard it is. Listen, my wife for 2.5 years dying with bone cancer. Her spine was snapping like a toothpick. She was on 41 different medications. And I had to take care of her. I mean, you wouldn't believe the stuff we had to go. They had to cut her whole colon out, and she had to wear a bag on her side. I had to clean all that, change her, wash her, bathe her, feed her, take care of her and everything. And even her spine was snapping, and she couldn't even hold her head up. I had to put makeup on her, and which that was a sight sometimes. But I had to put makeup and comb hair and take care of her and all that. You say, well, what do you mean? I remember when the doctors came to me and said, there's nothing else we can do. Yeah, our anniversary was coming up, like within the next day or two. I was at University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I called the nurse out in the hallway. I said, "Ma'am, can you do something for me?" She said, "What is it?" I said, "There's a little room down there. It's a family gathering room. You think you could move that couch to the side and set a little table and just get me a little candle or something? I'm going to cater a dinner in for my wife. It'll be our last anniversary, you know." I'll never forget when they took, preacher, I went out and I catered a prime rib. She loved prime rib. She loved prime rib. I catered two prime ribs, mine and hers. I catered it in. You know how much it cost? $150-some. I could have bought the whole cow, amen, for that. You know, hey, $150-some to cater those two meals in to the hospital. Hey, let me tell you something. I went and bought her a brand new red dress, just like our first day. I went and paid over $100 for that dress, knowing she'd probably only wear it one time. I went and bought the priest. I remember the first time we ever met, she had a beautiful red dress on, priest. And on Valentine's night, oh, I'll never forget when I saw her. Ooh. She came out there, my heart started doing this. Amen. I mean, I saw hearts. I even saw them little naked babies flying around with a bow, amen, shooting arrows, amen. And, hey, I was in love, amen. Hey, but let me tell you, I went out and bought me a brand new suit. And I'll never forget that night, I had to dress her, get her ready. I said, "Honey, you ready to go on a hot date?" She had no hair. She looked like somebody took a ball bat and beat her. Had cancer, beat her up, blood disease. It beat her body up so bad. I remember putting that wig on. I remember putting makeup on her. And I said, "Honey, you're as pretty as the day I ever first met you." I said, "I sure love you." I'll never forget. I said, "You ready to go on a date?" I got that pole with her IV on it. And we strolled. We came out. I'll never forget, preacher. We walked out in the hallway. I had a brand new suit on. She had that brand new dress. And when we walked out in the hallway, there was doctors and nurses lined up all the way down that hallway. And they all sang happy anniversary as we marched down that hallway to me and my wife. We went into that. When I opened the door, that little room looked like a banquet hall. Them doctors, nurses put their money together and fixed that thing up just like a banquet. And my wife and I went in there. Now, wait a minute. For 10 minutes at the longest. I'll never forget, we shut the door. She took one bite. She took one bite of that steak. That's all she could eat. I even told her. I said, "I paid $150 for that steak. Now, you're just going to bite one time." I said, she laughed, kind of smiled at me. I said, "Honey, we were only in there 10 minutes at the longest." I said, "You tired?" She said, "Yeah." "Do we go home?" "Yeah." "Where was her home?" Back at the end of the hallway. We strolled back. I remember that night we strolled back. I took that brand new dress off her and got her pajamas on, changed her bag on her side, cleaned her up, put her down, and I told her, I said, "Honey," I said, and I'll never forget, she looked at me, preacher. She said, "Thank you for the hot date." I said, "You're welcome, sweetheart." I said, "I love you." She said, "I love you." That was it. You said, "Preacher, what are you trying to say? You mean you paid over $100 for that dress? You paid that for $150? Yes, sirree. Amen. Yes, sirree. Because when you love somebody, you'll do anything for them. It doesn't matter what the cost is. It doesn't matter what the price is. It doesn't matter what you got, how hard it is, buddy. When you love somebody, you'll do anything. And when you love God, you don't care how hard it is. Amen. Because you'll do anything for him because you love him. You love him. Whatever the cost is, whatever the price is, whatever, how tough it is, how tough it gets. You do it because you love God. Can I have amen? And when you build that principle in your life, you'll make it. Number two, I will not let money make my decision. I will never let money make my decision. I could tell you story after story how people have tried to back me down with money to turn from God, to turn from the will of God. Amen. Don't listen. The love of money can take your love away from God. And you better decide that I'm going to stay faithful to God and do the will of God, not for money's sake, but for what God wants to fill my life. Number three, I will be faithful to my wife. I will be faithful to my wife. I was faithful to my first wife. Now I'm faithful to my second wife. I tell folks I've had two good wives in my life. I was preaching one time. Preacher boys had a question and answer time. They were asking me questions. And I told them, God bless me, two good wives. One of them raised his hand at the same time. He didn't know one had died, you know. And I said, oh, no. One's in heaven, amen. I got one. I can only handle one at a time, amen. And then let me say this. I will keep my testimony. I will keep my testimony. Folks, listen to me, young people. Your testimony means everything. And I know men that have done great things. They have done amazing things. And they built a whole lifetime of a good testimony, but in one second they lost it all. They lost it all. They've lost their ministry. I mean, you know people, preachers and men of God and Christians that have lost their testimony. You keep a good testimony because your actions speak a lot louder than your words. Amen. And then let me say this: whatever I go through in my life, I will give God the glory. I will give God the glory. Look here, folks. You're not looking at a guy that just fell off a pumpkin wagon. Now, I may look like it, but I didn't just fall off a pumpkin wagon. I know what heartache is. I know what heartache is. You know, I was in Bible college driving a church bus. Listen to this. Had about 60 kids on the bus. Brakes failed on the bus. Killed an 83-year-old man. They took me to jail for manslaughter. They didn't know the brakes had failed on the bus. That was back then when they had brake boosters on the bus. And that booster went out on that thing. And I had no brakes. But I was sued. Listen to this. I was sued for $2.5 million. I'm in Bible college. Folks, you can sue me for all the money you want to. You ain't going to get nothing out of Bible college, dude. Amen. I was at Bible college. I was broke as Job's turkey. Amen. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Hey, but you know what? Hey, but I had to go through that. Had to go through court. Thank the Lord all the charges were dropped. Amen. Because it proven it was an accident. But I still had to go through that. My wife, listen to this. My first wife was she was carrying our first child. Listen, I preached my own child's funeral. I know. It's not easy. Amen. Life's not easy. Everything might be going good for you right now, but just hang on, honey. It's coming. But let me tell you. I had to go through. My wife was hit by a drunk driver running 55 miles per hour. Run about 75 miles per hour. Hit her from behind, pushed on the oncoming traffic. They were running 55, and a car hit her head on, ripped all this part of her face off. I mean, every bit of it had been ripped off. Matter of fact, the pastor and I went back to where they drugged the car into. We took half her face out of the windshield, put it in an ice chest, took it back to hospital. They did a 14-hour surgery and put her face back together. It was amazing what they did. But, you know, I know what can happen. You know, I know what it is to go through tough times as a pastor. I pastored it. I had people I won to Christ, put their homes back together and everything, and then walk out the door like I never did anything for them and cuss me out. You know, like I didn't do anything for them. So I know what it is. Look here, I know what it is to lose the dearest thing on this earth, your sweetheart, your wife. I preached her funeral, you know. I could go on. There's been things. Hey, but can I tell you something, though? You didn't see me here today dragging around. You didn't see me pouting. Amen. You didn't see me with the poochy lip disease. You know, you didn't see me all sad and down and everything today. No, sir, but you saw me going around shaking folks' hands. Hey, buddy, good to see you. God bless you. Amen. God's good, ain't it? Amen. God's good. Hey, you know why? Because everything that's happening now, I look back at my life, God had a purpose. God had a plan. I mean, I have literally in my life seen thousands, and I mean, good night, we just went over a million saved in the last 2 years with the Ron Milton Missions Outreach, amen. Now we've got, I preached in Haiti there, and over 17,000 people got saved, amen. I've seen thousands, bro, thousands of people saved in my life because God had a plan. God had a purpose. And I get to help preachers all over, everywhere, and encourage them what God can do in your life when you go through tough times. Can I have amen? So God has a plan. God has a purpose. And so whatever it is, God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Amen. Yeah. And then let me say this, number six, my whole life will be based on reaching souls. Everything I do is based on reaching souls. Everything. Everything I do is based on soul winning. Everything. And if I go somewhere, it's because I'm out to reach souls. Amen. And when you base everything on reaching souls, God's going to bless your life. God's going to bless your life. So everything I do is based on soul winning. Number seven, last of all, I will finish the race for God. I will finish. I'm determined by the grace of God that I'm going to finish this race. You see, one day I'll take this last breath on this earth, and I'll lay in a casket one day, and my children and my grandchildren will walk by my casket. And there's one thing I want them to say. My daddy, my grandpa loved God. He loved God with all his heart and loved souls. Amen. You know, God has a purpose for your life, young people. God wants you to run the race well, and he wants you to finish well. I hate quitters. I don't like people that start and quit. Amen. I like people to start and finish. Finish the race. Finish the game. I'll never forget years ago when we played a team. And we played a team in David County. There we played a team. And we were winning. We were the best team. We were winning. But the fourth quarter, we stopped. We stopped. And guess what? We lost the game. And because of that, it hurt our standing. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't finish your race for God, it's going to hurt your standing. Amen. It's going to hurt your standing. With who? God. God. Hey, when I face him one day, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. You finished. You finished your course. Amen. And I believe that these things, if you'll take in your life and start to develop principles in your life and live by them. Because when the tough times come, you're built on godly principles that'll keep you and finish the race for God. Amen. Every head bowed. I wonder this afternoon, is there anybody would you say, preacher? God spoke to my heart today. God spoke to my heart today. And I'm going to develop. I'm going to pray and ask God to show me principles to live my life by the rest of my life so that I can finish my course for God. Did God speak to your heart this afternoon? Would you raise your hand? Did God speak to your heart? Amen. Amen. I hope He did. If you're not saved, I hope you'll get saved before it's too late. Boy, don't wait too late. You don't want to spend eternity snorting the flames of hell for eternity. I hope you'll get saved if you're not saved. Let God use you. Let God bless you there. Preacher, I'm going to have you come up and close it out.